What's up, Brian? How you doing, dude?
Doing great, man. Glad to be here. Always good to chat.
Yeah, you said you guys have one last nice day. I feel like you guys have, Denver has like volatile weather. So I feel like it's like you could, I don't know, you said you had a really nice day today, but like tomorrow it could be like a blizzard or something.
Yeah, so we're supposed to get up to 56 and great sun today, which is incredible. And then over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, potentially Tuesday, we're going negative and Holy supposed crap. To get between like 5 and 10 inches of snow. So yeah, I think the high one day is like 2 or 3 Crazy. And then low is like negative 10. So yeah, we're in for it.
Yep. All right, cool. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, we have 51. We have 51 and sunny today. It's just been glorious, but it's a little less volatile. I feel like you guys have volatile. It's like could be crazy. You have to like you actually have to check the weather like daily. There's no like continuity to it, really, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's nice being in the South where the worst days you get are like low 40s.
Yeah, yeah. The winters, southern winter is just like, oh, just unbelievable temps here. It's a 40 to, it's like 35 to 50, five, but like sunny most days. Yeah, I can't complain during this time of the year for sure.
All great running weather.
It really is. It's unbelievable peak running weather. All right, quick context because we could be here all day with the amount of machines we're going to rank here. If you're listening to us on an audio-only platform, I would hop over to YouTube. This is like a way more fun thing to watch us do because we're going to be doing one of those tier lists that you've seen from like S tier to D tier or whatever. And we're just going to be dragging and dropping 35 machines and putting them into this tier list and just having a chance to talk about it. And I feel like if you're a gym goer and you want to learn a little bit more about, you know, how to think about certain machines, maybe certain brands of machines, certain types of machines, I think that there's just going to be a lot of helpful word vomit that comes out here. I don't think we're not like overly scrutinizing this exact brand, but if we have a point, then you know that goes into this exact brand, I think it's still helpful to navigate big box gyms where you might have many options. So if you're unfamiliar with tier list stuff, the top tier is S tier, and then A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier. Brian and I were just talking before we hit record where we're going to talk about it in a few contexts, the machine itself in terms of the quality of the exercise that it gets you, the how high we value that exercise just generally in the context of hypertrophy, but also potentially compared to alternatives within a similar category. We have like 5 different chest-supported rows that we're going to go through. So while chest-supported rowing might rank really high as just like, hey, that's a good, stable back exercise that you should have if you're interested in hypertrophy, we can't put them all in the S tier, and so we will have a little bit of a kind of within type of exercise discussion. And honestly, there's no format. We're just going to do whatever we want. We're going to see how it goes. Our first machine is the assisted dip and pull up, and how we're going to do this is we're going to throw it over to one of us to give like an opening argument of just, hey, I put it here, and then one of us can counter, and then we'll kind of settle on a spot. I would put this in the S tier. I think that it stands alone. It's not like there's some other machine that does exactly this. I think if you're looking to work on dips and pull-ups and you can't yet do bodyweight dips and pull-ups, then while band options are really great, I think the effect on resistance profile makes the machine version notably better. And it's just, a pull-up is an amazing exercise. Dip can be an amazing exercise. The fact that it doesn't flip the resistance profile and there really aren't any alternatives, to me, I think of this as an S tier, like irreplaceable. Yeah, something that I can't even say anything negative about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like to your point, if you are scaling a pull-up and a dip, this is the only way to do it without modifying the resistance profile in some manner. We've had a lot of success with the foot-assisted version of the dip, and for that matter, like even like a rack pull-up that's, you know, foot-assisted as well. Both of those are great, but it's difficult to always be consistent with how much foot pressure you're applying. And so, yeah, the S tier would be this assisted machine for sure.
Yep. I've definitely leaned into the leg assistance just as a, what you gain in like maybe a better stimulus, you lose in terms of like really clean diagnostics of like progressing, you know, pet use. Just a kind of a vague, hey, I'm helping myself just enough that vaguely progresses over time. So the machine does help with that for sure.
Yep.
Next machine is a seated back extension. So it's like a lower back extension. If you're not watching, it's like you sit on the machine. It's the opposite of a crunch machine. You kind of push your back against the machine. I'll throw this one over to you, Bri.
When you think of what the alternatives might be, such as an RDL, a Jefferson curl, a 45 degree or GHD hip extension with various spinal positions that you can use, I personally don't think I've ever used this machine as part of an actual program. Like I've messed around with it just to see what it feels like. So I think when compared to the alternatives, I have to put it in the D tier.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I almost feel like it would, the stability would be a thing that I would say, okay, that's a positive here. That like all the things you listed, like 45 degree hip extension or back extension, Jefferson curl, even just like, I know doing an RDL isn't actually training the extension function. It's more of like fighting that the flexion forces, let's say. But I think you get enough lower back work if you're doing hip extensions and RDLs. You know, most people aren't looking to like overly. Listen, you want a strong lower back, but nobody has ever come to me being like, "Hey, I'm trying to look. I'm trying to have my lower back look sick, look shredded for the summer." So I'm putting it in C or D. I'm gonna put it in D just because, like you, I've been training for 15 years and I've never actually seriously felt the need to do it.
Yeah.
Cool. The next one is a seated bicep curl machine. It's basically the one that has two arms and the kind of the elbow pads that let you press back against it. And
Is that Prime?
that's not Prime. There are no Prime machines here. I chose to leave
Okay.
out Prime machines. I think if you have Prime machines, then screw you. Like you don't need to worry about this tier list. Like you have all the S tier versions of stuff. So this is not a Prime machine. No Prime machines. No resistance profile stuff. But I'm putting this in. The I would put it so yeah I'll leave this one. I'm putting it in the B tier. I think the elbow pads that allow you to stabilize the arm against, let you kind of anchor back against, are really clutch. The downside of this machine that I've used a lot is that it doesn't fit everyone well based on like how long your arms are. Even though the seat does move, I feel like some people, because that arm kind of has a fixed length to it, I've had people sit down in it and optimize the seat height and it fits really great for them. And other people, it's terrible. What I will say, the reason I wouldn't put it any lower is because you can just come over here with dumbbells and do an awesome curl in here. I've had, when I was training people in person, we would come over here with dumbbells and I'd say, hey, screw the like handles, just use the seat with the elbow pads. And it's a really nice, just way of anchoring, and having some stability. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would my question to you is going to be like, what's better? So like I love the stability. I love that it's a relatively lengthened, at least resistance profile or strength curve. So the idea of bringing dumbbells over as a way to improve it, I think definitely is a great point. Like otherwise, I would say this machine would go up higher, but then the note of improving it is kind of why it sits in the B category.
I think just it not fitting everyone ideally, like it being like kind of hit or miss. I think we could put it in the A category of like, hey, if it fits you, it's an A. If it fits you a little less good, it's a B. Let's see how we rank some of these other bicep machines and maybe we'll shuffle them as we go. So next one is you're gonna hit this one. It's just like your stock standard preacher curl machine, not the free weight, the actual machine. So like most gyms have a selectorized preacher curl machine with those kind of like handles that curve out. Same.
I love this machine, honestly. I'm a huge fan of it. Especially the ones where they have the handles that are like kind of semi-supinated, so you're not completely supinated, which kind of feels like you're gonna rip your bicep, which as we get to it, I'm gonna be actually it's the next one, so we'll
Yeah,
just talk about it when
next
we get
one, yeah.
there. But yeah, I love these preacher curl machines. And honestly, like as far as a bicep exercise goes, given that your humerus, your upper arm is supported, and it's relatively lengthened overloaded in most cases, I think that's probably like a premier bicep exercise. I put it in S tier.
Yeah, I would put it in, especially with the other, like when we think about bicep curl machines, like actual machines, the thing we're going to talk about next isn't technically a machine, but we'll throw it in there. Like I would rank this above the one we did last, which was B, and I don't know of a machine that I would rank higher. So I'm definitely between S and A, and since you put S, we'll throw it in S and we'll see how we feel. Next one is like the preacher curl station. So it's like the free weight preacher curl station. In the image, it's set up with an easy bar. The irony is, I would not do this with an easy bar.
Agreed.
And frankly, this one, again, if you're not watching, this is like the preacher curl station. There are usually preacher curl stations that on the back of the 60-degree side, there's a 90-degree side. And if you had that one, I would put this in A tier for single arm preacher curls, and the ability to flip over, use the 90-degree side, kind of in the way that you use this other B tier one that we were looking at before. In a similar way, where you have your elbows stabilized against it, you're sitting on the seat, but you're kind of facing in the opposite direction. So I like that you can do both of those. It also makes for a decent, mechanical drop set. You can do a 90-degree preacher, work a little bit more short position, flip over. You get the 60-degree preacher that's a little bit more lengthened. I would put this in the A tier. I like it a lot. I'd like the machine version a little bit better, a little bit more plug and play, and you can do this bilaterally. I mean, you could do this bilaterally, but it's not my favorite, not something I would highly recommend. I'd put it in A tier. I could see it in B tier if you were like, hey, I just don't get to do it bilaterally at all, really. And so that's a frustration. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think somewhere between A and B. I'm good with A because of like the reasons that you said regarding the change of the angle with the 60 degree side and the 90 degree side. And then like you, I'm not a huge fan of using the easy bar or a straight bar there, in that it locks you into that supination, which feels like your bicep is about to rip at the bottom. And I know we've all seen too many of those videos online where in some ways preacher curls actually kind of freak me out to begin with. But using a straight bar where you're locked in supination like that makes it even more scary. So yeah, I think we're good there.
Yeah. I don't know when was the first time I heard that that the preacher curl is like the bicep tear machine where people just shred their bicep. But like, that was something that was ingrained to me, whether it's like the most true or not, I don't know, but, it was ingrained enough in me that I abide by it, and I try and stick away from the bilateral there. Next one is the free motion functional trainer. So basically the free motion is the brand. It has the moving arms. They can move in and out horizontally. They can move up and down vertically. And it gives you like a lot of customization in terms of the cable orientation. You're up.
Yeah, it's an S tier. I mean, that machine is insanely good. Yeah. I feel like we could do an entire podcast about all the different things that you can do on that machine. So I'll spare you guys. But the ability to turn your body, do it single arm, do things bilateral, the raising of the arms, the narrowing of the arms. I mean, there's endless possibilities that you can do. And as somebody that owns a functional trainer where it just goes straight up and down and doesn't allow you as much maneuverability, I very much wish that I had this S tier option.
Yep, I agree. I think that if there was a tier above S, it would go in there as well. You know, yeah. So that's how I feel about this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one is our like stock standard. If you went to Google Images, you typed in functional trainer, this is what would pop up. It's like the Life Fitness. It's a dual cable station. Basically what Brian was just describing, where you have a cable on the right, a cable on the left, and then kind of like a pull-up bar in between. Your stock standard functional trainer, dual cable station that, you know, every gym should absolutely have that, you know, is similar to what we just said, but without the ability to kind of move the arms, externally rotate them, internally rotate them. They just go up and down. Ah, it's mine. Yeah, I'm up. Go ahead.
Okay. No, yeah. You're good. Go for it.
I actually would put this also in S tier. I think if we were going to rank within S tier, I'd put this behind the free motion. But I just, again, I think this is like the versatility of this. Like if we're going to put anything in S tier, it's got to be an S or A. I'd put it in S, even though it's slightly less optimal. Like, yeah, it has slightly less versatility than the free motion machine. But like, come on, like every person who's building a gym, if you talk to Aaron about like the gym, you know, or you're building a home gym, you're like, I need a functional trainer. It's like one of the top pieces of equipment that you could buy.
Yeah, I have no argument there. The only reason I was going to put it in A was going to be, you can keep it in S. The only reason I was going to put it in A potentially is the if it lacks the low row and high row capabilities. So my functional trainer that looks just like that has a cable that comes out of the middle at the bottom and then another cable that comes out of the top. So you have the option of kind of doing like pull down or row or curls or whatever without having to use the two arms that are located strictly on either side. And so if it had those two options, I think it's probably just as good as the free motion one, because it provides you more options than the free motion one does in that manner. But without those, like my inclination is to move it down to A, but given that machine isn't specified as to whether it has it or doesn't have it, like I'm cool as putting it in S tier as just a lower category than the free motion.
Cool. I think we can't go into this depth with each machine, but I think that functional trainers that are a 2-to-1 machine that also start kind of heavy, that can be a frustration. And so I was just talking about this in my group. Somebody asked like, hey, I went over to this one cable machine and I can't do dumbbell. I can't do cable lateral raises, but I went over to this other one and I can totally do it. And so that comes down to the ratio, just the way, let's just say the way the machine is built, but also like the first plate sometimes is a 10-pound plate, sometimes it's a 5-pound plate. And with the free motion one, it's like a 3-pound plate. And so it just becomes more accessible at really, really light loads. I think a good functional trainer like this Life Fitness one, tends to start pretty darn light, and so it's pretty solid. But you might, listen, if you're buying a home gym, that's my number one thing I remind people, is to look at what the lightest capable weight that you can use is. So that could be a frustration. All right, next one is
my one that I have at home that looks just like that. It's 4-to-1 on the sidearms, with the option to connect both hooks together to make it 2-to-1.
That's awesome.
And then all the ones that come directly from the top or the bottom are both 2-to-1. So there's a number of different options there.
The prime one that I have is 1-to-1 on the top cables, the ones that are fixed at the top, and then the ones that are move up and down are 2-to-1. If you buy the plate-loaded Prodigy rack, you have a 1-to-1 on top, and then you have a 2-to-1 with the movable ones, and you can even move it to make it a 4-to-1. So it is a really versatile, but yeah, okay, you have to load the plates on and off. So that was a deal breaker for me. Too lazy for that.
Yeah. Selectorized all the way.
Yeah, all the way. Next one is like the universal cable station. And so these are like the really wide cables that every gym has. And there's a picture of a guy doing a cable fly on them, and I want to reference using them together at the same time is what we're ranking. I think otherwise it's just like a single tower cable.
Okay.
So using this in terms of bilateral exercises in comparison to the other two cable stations that we just went through.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a really great machine, and anybody that has this in their gym should be pretty amped about it. It's great. It's not going to be quite as good as the other two functional trainer options that we have at the top. So my preference would be to put that in A, and it's really just a matter of it being so wide. And you've put great content out about how you can kind of manipulate the fact that it's wide by going down to a kneeling position or adjusting your body position in relation to its proximity to the unit. So there are a number of different kind of tricks that you can implement to make it more effective and work for you and your size. But it definitely just isn't as good as the first two.
Yeah. And I think that's rude to pick on this one and not at least also acknowledge all of the single cable tower stuff that you'd want to do. You could do with this too. And that means cables are just so freaking awesome. This can't go below an A, because just putting it in the B tier would just neglect all the amazing single cable tower stuff that you could do. So yeah, I'm on board with A. Next.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It would just be rude not to acknowledge that.
just like, decided to pick on this one and forget about that with the free motion ones. But next one is a chest fly machine. It's not a pec deck. We're going to do that one in a second. But it's a chest fly machine that not a lot of gyms will have, but some more modern gyms will have this machine in some variation, some iteration, some brand of this machine. Basically, you're laying on an incline, but it's not an inclined arm path. It's certainly more of a perpendicular, more of a sternal arm path, which, you know, I'd say is, if you're going to just buy one machine for a gym, you buy that. You attack, let's say, the middle fibers of the pecs. I put this in an A or a B category. The only reason I might not put it in like an S category is because I think if I was going to do some sort of a fly motion, I would prefer a cable version. The fixed arms, I know that this isn't completely fixed. It has like a pivot, and it allows you to, if you have longer arms or shorter arms, kind of make it fit you a little bit better. But I've used some that I don't love. And so in my pit, I want to put it as a B, mostly because I've just had better experience with pec decks. And I feel like the pec deck is also more versatile, and we're going to go through the pec deck in a second. So this almost is like it's like a pec deck, but worse in some ways. And so my opening argument is to put it in the B category.
Yeah, I'm good with B as well. I've seen this one both flat and inclined, but it's funny that, like, to your point, that doesn't change the arm path. It's still a sternal, like, mid chest exercise. And I like it. Like, I mean, I think it's better than having to use dumbbells. And in some ways, the stability in it is almost better than cables, but I like the lack of stability in the cables also. So, I mean, there's kind of the good and the bad to both. I think B is a fair position to put that in, especially because as we move in here to pec deck next, I do also prefer the pec deck over that. And so I'd probably put that in the A category.
Cool. Let's do pec deck.
Would you make an argument for that to go into the S category, or are you good with A on that one?
We're in our like chest category right now. The last two were pec machines, and the next like five are pec machines too. I'm in between S and A tier here, just because you can also do the work the rear delts with this, and so I, I because of the fixed arms, I tend to think, okay, well, like all of this would be better with cables. It's less fixed. But like at the end of the day, the stability and this fits most people just fine. I don't feel like I'm like, oh, this is certainly like round peg, square hole for some people. I don't feel that. I think the Pec Deck is just elite. Certainly some brands better and worse. I don't want that to be the context we're giving. I think the Pec Deck, if I was like, the way I think about it is if I was building a gym, I feel like I would 100% have a Pec Deck as a machine that I want to have. And so that's why it's definitely A or S. I feel like I would leave it in the A. I feel like I would just leave. By the time we're done with this, I want to look at the S tier and be like, those are just like absolutely elite, top tier, must have in my gym.
Yeah.
In their category. Like if my gym didn't have a Pec Deck, I'd be able to like recreate those exercises well enough. But if my gym didn't have that assisted pull up and dip machine, I'd kind of be like, wow, it's really challenging to replicate that. So I'd leave it in the A. I like it in the A.
I also think the potential only drawback really to those Pec machines is I personally find myself when I'm setting up to be in between the last spot for the Pec option and the first spot for the rear delt option. So what I usually end up doing is actually setting up it up into the rear delt option so that I can get full range of motion, where I feel like range of motion is limited if I put it in the final Pec spot.
Yep.
So that just might be something that if you have decent mobility in your kind of anterior delt chest region, you might also need to put it in the rear delt, even though that's counterintuitive.
I also have, we're doing this in the group right now, and I feel like some people are, you know, when you do like the abduction or adduction machine, or let's call it the abduction side, where it's like there's a real frustration where you can't bring your legs all the way together, and like the machine just kind of craps out with like 3 inches to go.
Yeah. So
the rear delt, rear delt version on the Pec Deck sometimes does that, where like even the closest handles are still like, I don't know, like 2 feet apart, and you're like, well, I could bring my arm across my body a whole lot more, get more lengthening. And yeah, you could do the single arm version, you know, cross body. You could do that totally. But I'm always wondering, so you and I always think about this. You and I have the Xmark leg extension or whatever. And when you look at the options on where to start with the leg pad, it's just a continuous hole, right? You can just continue. There's a, when you're thinking about pulling the pin out and dragging the pad underneath you for leg extension, like it's just a continuous hole. And I just wish more machines had that. Just said, let me, don't tell me where the limit is for where I want to start on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
I'm going to throw this one over to you because you have basically this machine. So it's like a, it's a supine, you know, laying down chest press machine. The context I will give is that it has converging arms, laying down chest press machine, converging arms, pretty stock standard stuff.
Yeah, the one that I have that looks just like that also adjusts from decline to flat to incline, and you can raise and lower the arms to accommodate the different supine position that you're in, which is sweet. The one I have does not converge, which I thought was going to kind of drive me crazy, and it doesn't drive me crazy as much as I thought it would. As someone, one of my followers pointed out, it's almost like they made a barbell bench press machine instead of like a dumbbell bench press machine. So it's fine. Like I'm okay with it. I think it's fine. Let me look at what the other options are for chest.
Don't look too much. Don't look too much. Cause we'll move it if we feel like, oh crap, we fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you get the fact that you have stability, that you have it converging, if it had, you know, a semi pronated hand position, this one looks like it's fully pronated. I don't know how relevant that is. But I think this is a great machine, and I think pretty confident putting it into the A category.
Cool. I have a feeling we're going to move it down to the B category, but
I think that's definitely possible.
But let's hold it in the A category for now. So the next one is the standing chest press machine that you'll see in my experience in gyms that, like, for some reason, also have like a lot of power lifters. And it's like basically you're standing up and you're standing on a platform and there's a pad behind your back for stability as if you were laying on a bench. And then there are these two huge arms with like a bunch of different pegs. So you could have your hand like higher and lower. And obviously you pick the peg that fits your structure the best. And you're kind of pressing out horizontally. So you're literally, it's like you took the machine that we just went over, but you flipped it upright. So you're standing. I have no clue why this machine exists. I have no idea why somebody made this machine. It's all fixed in pronated handles. There's no conceivable benefit for why I'm standing. I'm angry about this machine, so I'm putting it in the D category. I'm angry about it. It's just the last machine that we just went through, but without converging arms, and I have to stand up. Like, why am I standing up? The stability of that, like, again, it's, I'm not like a stability Nazi here, but like I just, laying down's better. I don't know why. Like, just make this exact machine, but let me lay down and we might have a different conversation. I'm putting it in D tier as out of anger. That when I say I'm putting it in D tier, if your gym only had this and this was your only chest press, and you were like, hey, I have barbell pressing, dumbbell pressing, cable movements, and I have this thing, you will absolutely have this in your rotation, and it will be a nice addition to your pec development because of the stability, because it, you know, the how it would complement those other things. But in the context of, you know, maybe I'm building a gym, I need a chest press machine, like, I'm just not buying this one. Plus, it looks expensive as shit.
Yeah, I've only seen this in maybe one or two gyms in my life, and I've just kind of like looked at it with a side eye, like very skeptical, eyebrow raised, and then not tried it. So I have zero experience actually trying it, but I'm totally good putting it in D category because of that side-eyed skeptical sense that I approach it with.
Yeah, I have a feeling somebody out there loves it, you know? And by the way, it's very possible because guess what? Stable pressing movements are... if you've just been in the home gym, dumbbell pressing and barbell pressing, any stable press, you're gonna be like, oh my God, this is awesome. So if that's your experience where this is the stable press you have access to, I bet you you are slighted just now. No, I'm just saying, you know, I bet you that this is a fine machine in the context of complementing, you know, free weight lifts. But as far as other chest press options, not my favorite. The next one we have is a seated chest press machine, stock standard, selectorized, except I will give some context to this one. This has only pronated handles and does not converge. So you're sitting, no pronated handles, does not converge, but it's selectorized.
Yeah, I mean, C category, like it's slightly better than the standing version, but pronated without handles that converge, I just think there's ultimately going to be better options. To use the same sort of context that you use with the standing one, though, if all you have is barbells, dumbbells, and cables, that will make its way into your rotation and you'll be happy that it's there. So, you know, it's not the end of the world to use a C movement every now and then.
Agreed. I agree with exactly that context. The next one is the Hoist Rocket brand. Everyone knows these machines where when you do the movement, they just move you arbitrarily. Like, it's just like, I don't know what sort of hallucinogenic drugs these people were on when they made these machines, because I was explaining this to somebody the other day. There's no permeating logic through the machines. It's not like you can sense what the logic was, where it's like, hey, maybe we move people into a place where they get more into the short position, or maybe we move them into, you know, more biomechanically advantageous. They just move you. It just moves. The machine just moves with no logic whatsoever. And what I find funny about that is that sometimes that makes the machine just like annoying and bad. But other times it's just like, oh, that movement's quite nice. Like, I've sat in some Hoist Rocket machines, I'm like, oh, that actually feels kind of nice that I'm moving like that. And this is actually one of those machines. I like the Hoist chest press. I like that you can spot yourself with your foot. You kind of unlock the machine with your foot and then you're in it, which allows the machine to start in a deeper range of motion because they know you can kick yourself into the beginning and spot yourself into the end. I like that it has a neutral grip option and a pronated grip option. Ironically, my favorite part of this machine is putting your palm right on the corner of those two things. I quite like this machine. I would put it certainly above the last one we did. I'd put it into the B or A category. What do you think?
Where do you compare it to the chest press that converges, that's lying down, that potentially locks you into pronation?
If I had both of them, I'd use the Hoist one, I think.
Okay. We can swap those out. This is the one as well, if I'm not mistaken, where when you press, the way the machine moves is that you get pushed back.
Yes.
As you press, and then as you descend, it moves you forward again.
Yep.
So it's actually working with the natural rhythm by which you would want to press, where you're feeling about pushing away from something and then bringing back in.
Yep.
So I think if we want to go ahead and move the initial chest press down to B category and move that one up into A, primarily for a number of reasons, but I think the handle there and the range of motion definitely are pieces.
And if you look closely, I don't know if everyone's watching on YouTube or not, but if you look closely at the one we put in the B category, this one I'm highlighting here in red,
yep,
the handles are, they converge fine, but they start quite wide. And I had that thought when I was watching you use yours, where I was like, well, I'd almost be fine if it didn't converge, if it just allowed me to use a slightly closer grip. And the hoist machine we just went through does not converge, but it does allow me to use a closer grip. So even if it doesn't converge, it does allow me to tuck my elbows a little bit more. A small quality of life thing that just nudges it above for me.
Yeah, my machine at home has the neutral grip and the pronated grip. And so if I do want to tuck the elbows more,
nice.
Like for example, on the incline, I go with the wider hand position pronated. And then on the decline or flat, I tend to use the neutral grip and keep the elbows in tighter.
Sweet. Next one is our hammer strength, like standard horizontal chest press. It's not the overly inclined one. It's not the decline one. It's the perpendicular to my torso press. Hammer strength, plate loaded, you know, every 24-hour fitness, every, you know, snap fitness is going to have this hammer strength chest press.
Yeah, I like this machine personally, but I know from experience coaching others that there's a number of people that say it doesn't fit them quite right. Get like some kind of weird anterior delt, AC joint pain when they do it, stuff like that. So like for me, I put this into the A category. Like I put it up with that hoist machine. For general population and just my general interpretation of how people feel about it, I think probably more in the B category.
Yeah, I'm with that same feeling. So these handles, something about them doesn't fit some people right, and something about the fact that as they go back, they're diverging takes people into an uncomfortable shoulder position sometimes, and so you tend to like want to move people a little bit tighter in. But I do find that like some people when it feels right, when they go back on this machine and it diverges at the back, if they feel good there, then they like this machine. If they go back and they don't feel good in that position, then I find it to be a frustration. So I'll throw it in B. We'll see where we end up after a couple more here. Yeah, I'm gonna wax lyrical about this machine. This is the Nautilus chest press machine. It's just a horizontal press. Has a vertical hand, like a neutral grip handle and a pronated grip handle. It converges. And there's this to me is the S tier machine. The range of motion is plenty. You can move the backrest forward, so you can really extend the range of motion if you'd like to. That neutral grip and the converging handles. If again, I've shopped around for this machine for years for my home gym, looking for someone like with a gym going out of business that has this. It's my Again, we haven't put a chest press machine in the S tier. It is that hoist machine, but with converging arms. And so I, for that reason, would rank it above the hoist machine. And since the hoist machine's in A, I'd put this in S. But I do think it, you know, that is a personal choice. So I'd be very fine putting it in the A category as well.
Yeah, I mean, we need a chest press machine that's in the A category, and that's probably the best of the lot. When you said it's like the hoist machine, but converges, it doesn't move in the same manner the hoist machine does, but it has all of the different options as far as the different hand positions and all of that stuff, and it converges. So yeah, put it in the A category. Personally, I wish that I would have waited, or in the S category. Personally, I wish I would have waited and not been so impulsive with my chest press machine and waited for something that was a smaller footprint and likely vertical like that one.
Yeah, yours does modify. So yours does have like the incline, which I did not realize until I saw you doing the incline. And I was like, oh, that's a more enticing purchase for that reason, for sure.
Yeah.
This next one is, you'll hit this one, which is a selectorized. When we say selectorized, guys, we mean like a pin loaded. Like you take the pin out, you just put it into the next weight, like more of a standard, not a plate loaded machine, but a pin loaded machine. That's what selectorized means. It's a selectorized machine. And I picked this one because it's very common in Planet Fitness. It's a chest supported selectorized machine, which is great. And it has a diverging arm path. So as you're pulling, your arms are getting wider. And as you're bringing your arms forward and together, they're getting closer together. So it really nicely encourages a little bit more of that rear delt arm path. Have you used something like this?
Yeah, so we're on row machines. I don't think that was actually mentioned to the listeners. Yeah. We moved off chest machines. And if you didn't pick up on as you pull, it is. We're on to rowing now. So I have used a machine similar to this, and I really like that it does start narrower and then diverges and comes wider, specifically for the upper back purpose. So you wouldn't want to use this machine for a lat purpose because of the way that it diverges and comes out. But I think the unique nature of how it starts super narrow. You get that big stretch at the front side and then come out wider. It's almost as if you had one of those reverse pec deck rear delt machines that was slightly more rowy instead of such an abduction focus of just driving the arms out. And so I personally love this. I haven't used this exact machine. But I would say, as far as, you know, I almost feel like we need to separate these out now into like lat focused and then upper back or rear delt focused when you're thinking about this. Throw it into the A category.
Yeah, it's good. So chest supported rowing is challenging because I fucking love chest supported rowing.
They're all good. Yeah.
So it is. I actually don't think I picked one that I just like really don't like. Whereas like I feel like with our pec machines, we have one in every category. Ironically, with our pressing, I'm not sure that that will happen with these chest supported rowing. I think on average, chest supported rowing is messed up less by people who make the machines. I think with pec machines, I see a wide variety of you know, the grip options, the converging or not converging. I think that there's a little wider range of quality with chest supported rowing. I find, like, I'm looking at these machines, I'm like, I've loved all of these at a given time. So let's throw this one in the A category. You're right, because if you're like someone who's thinking more, hey, I want this rear delt upper back, I want to get rid of the lats a tiny bit, this jumps up super high on the list. And so it does depend a little bit of like within the back itself, what you're trying to hit, but I'm good with it in the A category. Yeah.
And if we had a category of rowing that wasn't chest supported, then I think that also ensures that we have some that are in the lower categories as well.
Which is the one that we have now, which I did on purpose, which is just the standard seated cable row. And so like, this is the standard seated cable row at every single gym you've ever been to, where you sit on the bench, you prop your feet up in front of you, you attach a certain handle, you sit kind of upright-ish, and you row. There's no chest support. So I put this in there to have the discussion of like, okay, this must be less good, in my opinion, than every single chest supported row that we put in. I'm not saying it's crap. I think if people have gotten mega jacked for the millennia for as long as these have existed, they have contributed to people getting super jacked. So I can't put it in the D category. I think, you know, if you made a terrible version of this, maybe, but I would put it in the C category just for the simple fact of if you have any chest supported row, I'd recommend doing that instead.
Yeah, I'm in alignment with you there. I think the potential value of doing the unsupported option like this is that you can manipulate your torso position in a manner to bias different things. And that takes a bit of an advanced skill. Like if you watch Birdo or somebody do the kind of leaned forward cable row where your elbows are in really tight and it's super lat biased, that's a really cool option that's almost difficult to emulate in some of the chest supported row machines, to get that torso position to be pronated forward in that manner while also being without being in thoracic extension. So you're kind of in that like suck down belly position.
Fair.
So I like that option. I just think to your point, like it's just without the chest stability, there's a lot of variability in there that makes it also difficult to ensure diagnostics are in line week to week too, and making sure you're making progress with consistency and stuff like that.
Yeah. I agree with Brian saying like a lean forward row with the elbows tucked can be really nice for like mid lower lat stuff. I would just pull a bench over, do an incline bench, set up like a, you know, with the prime handles or with angles 90 or, and yeah, you're right. You in that moment can't take as much of a flexed spine position, but you could still do that a little bit and avoid the extension. And so, I still would pull a bench over and do a chest supported row with cable.
How much value though do you put into the accessibility of it for your clients? Like, I know one of the biggest pushbacks I get to any of these optimal back movements is, I'm not going to drag a bench over in a commercial gym to the cable unit so that I can set up perfectly for this movement. So can you just tell me how to get into position on this cable row so that it can be as close as possible, you know? And in that sense, the cable row has almost more value because it can be manipulated and can be set up without any sort of annoyance on the user's end.
I agree. I think that that's a perfectly valid. I actually, in my group, it's either never happened or hasn't happened in a year plus where I've programmed like a chest supported lat pull down classic N1 style, drag a bench over. It's almost certainly the case that I would program the single arm version. And then in the notes be like, hey, if you're in a place where you can drag a bench over, try this. But yeah, that's fair. That's a fair counter. Let's hit this next one. This is our, are, again, stock standard, like T-bar row. If you were to Google like chest-supported T-bar row with a plate loaded, usually it has like one pronated grip and then one kind of semi-pronated grip. Mm-hmm. Every gym's going to have one of these, you know, has a foot platform. You're kind of, your torso is on like a 45 degree angle. And again, you have that choice between the fully pronated grip and the like semi-pronated grip.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great machine. I would likely put it into the S tier category if I didn't know what was coming next. So just because of that, we're going to put it into the A category. Because, I mean, it's chest supported. You have the option of the two grip positions. It's an amazing machine. Yeah, I have no arguments. That's literally, that is the machine that I have in my house.
Yep.
And it's insanely good, only to be outdone by the one that's next.
Yep, I agree. I think... underrated that I just feel like these people didn't mean to do is that this has such a good resistance profile. Like it really gets harder as you go down lower and it gets easier as you pull up higher. And I don't know if it's such a huge slope of a curve where like at the top it really drops off, but it's at least a favorable resistance profile.
What Cass was explaining to me the other day when he was watching me do it on my machine is that because I get into that more like T-Rexy position where the elbow and forearm angle exceeds or decreases below 90 degrees. So call it like at the top of the movement, it gets to 75 degrees or something like that. Because of that, that's what's causing that small drop off in resistance. Whereas to Cass's point, what he was saying is if I could get myself to be more upright or get my whole body over the pad
up,
a little bit
up and
further,
such
that when I was doing the row, the top position had my forearm elbow angle at 90 degrees, that at that point there's not going to be any drop off. So it's funny in that you can kind of change how you want this to go based on where your torso is in relation to the arms. The problem I have with the ladder option is that if I push myself too far up over the pad, I can't breathe because it's pushing against my diaphragm.
Yep.
So I prefer to be further back down where it's just my chest that's on the pad.
Yep. I agree with that. Which brings us to our next machine, which is brand specific. I know Arsenal makes one like this, but I'll try and explain it. Basically, it's the exact same machine we just laid out. It's like on a 45 degree angle. It's chest supported. There's like a foot plate at the bottom. And then there's an arm that is a plate loaded machine that has that moves on a pivot. So a similar resistance profile. Actually, I found that the drop off on this machine is quite large, and for that reason, it's even better. But one of the benefits of this machine is it has, let's say, a horizontal bar with handles that you can move more narrow or wider, and they are free moving handles. So you can kind of adopt whatever sort of a grip you want. It can be pronated, supinated, neutral, semi-neutral, whatever, semi-pronated, whatever. The drop off on this machine is incredible. I have the resistance profile on this is just so nice. Again, I've Alex Teamy. I don't know if you know who Alex Teamy is. Alex bought this. He has this in his garage, and every time he posts it, I message him. I'm like, yo, send me the link, like just for the day, just for the day where I'm like, I don't know, like something really good happens, and I'm like in a treat yourself kind of mood. But it's like $1,000, and so it's certainly not like is something I talked to Jenna about, not a thing I can just decide to do on my own, but I'd personally put this in the S category. I don't think it's an amazing machine for lats. I don't find it to be a machine I would choose to optimize for that reason, but for upper back, let's just say non-lat pulling. And you could bring the handles narrow, use it with the elbows tucked, keep a neutral grip, and you could latify it for sure. Regardless of how you choose to use this, to me, I'm throwing this in the S tier. I don't think I could rank a chest supported row much higher than this one.
Yeah, I agree. It's better than the other one, which is an A tier.
Yep.
So, and then what was the other thing I was going to say there? I don't know. We'll move on.
Okay. You're up. This one is our next is the hammer strength chest supported row. So just like, again, stock standard plate loaded hammer strength machine. You have your pronated option on the top, your pronated option on the bottom. You have your neutral option in the middle. I don't even know if they made this machine for people to use the neutral option on the outside. I've seen some people do that. I mean, again, you have a couple of grip options here, chest supported, you know, classic hammer strength row here.
Yeah, I like this machine. What I was going to say on the last one was that I've almost come to this belief that it feels as if most rowing movements are just better to be done for the upper back rear delt structure, and trying to bias them to lats feels almost like you're trying to fit that round peg into the, or the square peg into the round hole. Whereas it seems like vertical pulling movements align themselves much better to be better lat movements. And so I tend to just allow that to happen. This machine is great. Like I don't think I like it quite as much as the T-bar row with the D handles, but I'd put it up there equally with the T-bar row with the two different option handles, kind of like this one has multiple option handles as well. It's just as stable. It's plate loaded. You can do it unilateral, which is great. I think it's an awesome machine. Like it's an A, but it's probably an A that's slightly better than the T-bar row, maybe, but not as good as an S tier. Where do you think about it?
Yeah, I think about it in the A tier. I would put it in the A tier for the reason, if you're willing to set up step back hammer rows for lats, mm-hmm. then I think you have added a like we just made a point of like, hey, most chest supported rows intuitively feel more optimized for non-lat rowing. And this one as well. But the fact that you could do a unilateral step back row that really is quite nice for the lats and has a really good resistance profile, I'm putting this in A tier 100%.
Cool.
Next one is, yeah, this one's tough to this is our last chest supported row, and then we're moving to some that have shorter categories here. Chest supported row machine. I think it's a hammer strength selectorized, so pin loaded, chest supported row. And I will describe it in this way for the listener, that it has like kind of weird handle options. It has like a wide pronated grip. Then it has like a kind of wide neutral grip. And then it has a kind of narrow semi-supinated, so almost underhand grip. And the machine kind of moves on this kind of like scooping arm pattern. So like as you're pulling the... At first, the machine goes down, your hand like goes down, and then it scoops almost on an upward trajectory, mm-hmm. like an up vector as you're getting into the short position. Have you used this machine before or have words to speak on it?
No, I haven't used this exact machine, but it reminds me of like a typical Cybex machine that you'd see in any sort of not so well-equipped commercial gym that you would go to, where the setup is literally identical. I think the only difference is that it doesn't have that scooping nature. It's more just like straight forward and backward. How much do you think that scooping nature like is a positive attribute of the machine?
Not much. I only think that I personally only would recommend using that like bottom supinated grip, like comfort wise. I just think like the pronated one is so wide and it doesn't like come inward at all, so you're just kind of like elbows mega flared, which again, not the end of the world. And that neutral grip feels too wide for a neutral grip. Mm-hmm. And then you have that semi-supinated grip kind of at the bottom of the handle, looks like a hook. That I do think actually is quite comfortable. I'm in a position where if this is sitting next to the hammer strength one we just went through or the T-bar one, like, I'm probably using those, unless I'm too lazy to load the plates on for a given day, then I might use this.
So this is like, for me, this is a C. And I would put it similar to like how the way we talked about the two crappy chess machines that we didn't like, in that if all you have is barbells, dumbbells, and cables, you will find a way to use this machine and you'll be amped that it's there. But with the presence of a T-bar row or any of the other better chess supported row machines that we've already covered, this one just isn't in the same category.
No, I'm with that 100%. I'm with that. Next one is again, your standard lateral raise machine where you sit on the seat. There's a chest pad. To your left and right, there are these two elbow pads. You kind of put your arms in a 90-degree angle like you're, you know, Hitch, you know, dancing with the Hitch or whatever. And then you push your kind of forearms and elbows out and up in a lateral raise fashion. I would have, if you asked me a year ago, probably had a stick up my butt about it not being in the scapular plane. And thought, hey, if they had this machine just where I was able to kind of just alter the arm path to a slightly scapular plane, that I'd absolutely freaking be obsessed with it. I've probably fallen off my soapbox of freaking out about that so much and feel quite good about that if you are somebody who, again, in the context of lateral raising, where like if you just had dumbbells, then all of a sudden this would rank mega, mega high as an addition and complement to that. If you had cables and... you know, you can set up a nice behind the back lateral raise and Y raising. You got wrist cuffs. Like, I'm not sure I'd use this all that much. I want to put it in the B category of like, hey, like For people where maybe the fuss of a behind the back lateral raise feels like, again, like we're programming this for a group setting where you might have some people like, I don't really feel like setting up behind the back and the cables click and the cables start too heavy and all very legitimate concerns with behind the back lateral raise stuff. Then I would think this machine would be an awesome addition to just doing a bunch of dumbbell moves, but not quite as good as potentially doing behind the back stuff. So I'd say B. How do you feel? Have you used this machine in your recent history?
I've actually used it a decent amount, primarily, I would say, prior to having my home gym. I haven't used it a single time in the last 5 years. I don't love it. I think that one of the things I don't like about it is that the moment arm is so small. So it feels like you're just kind of like crunched in this little thing and like doing these like weird chicken wing things. And it just, it feels weird. It doesn't fit my body super well. It tends to be extremely short overloaded as well, where there's literally no tension at the bottom.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, it's like you said, if you had dumbbells and this machine, you would use this machine for sure.
Yeah.
But with anything else like cables, I would not be using this machine. And honestly, like I might be more tempted to use like a banded lateral raise before I'd use this if it wasn't such an annoyance to set up.
If you imagine this in the same context as our abduction machine issue, where like if you could make it so that these arms, listen, if you are a larger, wider person, you're going to get in here and you're going to have to like nestle yourself in and you're going to get tension right from the get-go. But if you're a little bit of a smaller person, you might find that like the first 2 inches, like there's no tension at all. The machine doesn't even begin to unlock. And so that's a frustration. What I would say is I like actually using this with straight arms. So not having that sort of like elbow bent in this position, actually just straightening out the arms and letting the pad sit on the elbow and just doing more of what would feel intuitive instead of this like L raise, having a straight arm where people, that feels a little bit more intuitive. But I agree. If you were like, hey, like I just have like a frustration with the fact that a stable lateral raise sounds great, but it does fall short. If you were like, hey, I'd throw it in the C category, I'd sign off on that.
Yeah, I'd probably put it in the C category.
Sweet. Next is, we'll just call it a standing lateral raise machine. And these are kind of old school machines that are coming back in vogue a little bit right now. This is what we're looking at. It's probably the Arsenal one where you're standing up and there's like these two handles right in front of you and you can bring them out basically as wide as you want. And both arms kind of work on a pivot. It's selectorized. Again, doesn't, you know, it's working like directly in frontal plane. It's not a scapular plane. You're working with the arm going directly out to the side, which is a perceived downside potentially. Have you used this machine ever? Because I think that they're old school. They're just coming back now. And neither of us have been in a gym in the last few years.
Yeah, I've used it plenty, actually. The gym I used to go to in San Diego is like a top five bodybuilding gym in the world. It's called The Gym. And they had one of these. And then when I went up to train with Berto and Brian Miner in Fort Collins, they have one of those at his gym as well. I actually quite like the machine. And, you know, you said it's mostly a frontal plane or abducted movement, you know, where you're going directly out to the side. If you actually stand back and then lean slightly forward, you can sort of change that into be more of a scapular plane raise. And that's how it feels best to me as well. So I'm quite a big fan of this. If I had one of these, I wouldn't use it instead of cables, but I think it would be a very nice complement and possibly alternative in some cycles.
What's the resistance profile? Does it feel?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a bit short overloaded, but I think that that is partially just a result of the strength curve of the lateral delts and that they're going to get harder as you raise your arm. Because that's just the nature of the way the body works. As you move your arm further away, it gets harder. There is some tension at the bottom, but not a ton. It's smoother than a dumbbell lateral raise. So it's not that extreme of a short overload, but it definitely doesn't have the lengthened overload that you can manipulate with the cables by doing, you know, the behind the back stuff and raising the height of the cable to wrist height and all that.
It feels like a machine that would be really nice to work into partials, just like you could do that with dumbbells too, but something about the stability of it being on a fixed plane, a fixed motion, makes me feel like this would be really nice to reverse drop set or work a little bit deeper into failure, into partials. Where with dumbbells, there's like, it makes sense biomechanically to continue to push into partials, but something about like having to hold my torso in that position once the dumbbells get heavy, for some reason, I'm like, it feels, I can push into partials. I'm not being a little stability baby. I can do it. But like, this feels like, hey, that would be a more conducive place to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the dumbbells is, to me, is that they literally lose 100% of tension at when the arm is straight. And so I find myself with dumbbells either wanting to stop my arm before it actually gets straight, which takes a whole other level of mental focus. Whereas with this machine, it just, there is tension at the bottom and it doesn't seem as much of a hindrance to have to stop yourself slightly shy of vertical if you so desire.
You didn't rate it. Give us a rating.
Yeah, I'll throw it in the A category.
Ooh, nice. I like it. Next is our stock standard lat pull down. You Google image lat pull down, that's what we're looking at. Sitting down, thigh pad.
Straight bar,
like just, you know, pulling down to the chest. I mean, obviously you can use different grips, whatever. My gut wants me to put it. Listen, there are, I'll just say this right now. There are pull down machines if you're in a fancier gym these days that are, if you have Prime, if you have, people are realizing that this lat pull down machine can be optimized. People are realizing that if you want to work lats, you want to work upper back, or you want certain arm pads, it can be optimized. But my gut, maybe I'm old school. My gut's like, hey, we're throwing this S tier because of the thigh pad stability. If you're trying to do vertical pulling without anchoring something down on top of you, it's just really challenging to load up appropriately. So S tier or A tier, if you had a full, if you're in like, you follow Danny Matranga, he works out of that gym in California with like all the red machines. Like, you're probably not using this. You got other stuff, right? But unless you're in that sort of a gym, I'm looking at this like, this provides me vertical pulling, high stability, anchored down that I can't mimic somewhere else.
I 100% agree. I actually have this programmed in some manner with some varying grip style or some setup for almost all of my clients that work out in commercial gyms, because it just is much more feasible than having to drag the bench over to get the positions that you might want. And one thing we've actually found super productive, and I use this in my groups too, is doing a one-arm iliac pull around in that station where you kind of have the D handle up there, you twist your torso a little bit and let the arm come across the body. And I just love how malleable it is. Like it can do a lot of different things.
Sweet. Sweet. Next one is our hammer strength. There are two machines when you go into any like commercial 24-hour fitness or whatever, or Golds or whatever, you're going to see two machines next to each other that look almost identical. Hammer Strength decided to make two like almost identical machines. One of them, basically they are pull down machines. You're sitting down, you have a chest support, and there's like a thigh pad that you have to like jimmy rig and like jiggle down onto your legs. And then you reach up, and this one that we are talking about now is the one that I would call a little bit more lat focused. It has most practically a supinated grip at the top that encourages an elbow tucked pull down position. Typically there is right next to this machine is another machine called like a rear delt high row, which also has your arm basically almost vertical, except encourages, because it's like a semi pronated grip, it encourages a little bit more of like an elbow out technique. I like that there's those two options, but if I'm thinking of each of these machines, like $6,000 probably. And so like, I just don't know how, as a gym owner, I would need both of these machines, but whatever. We're going to pick this one that is the supinated grip. I think it's a little bit better. Have you used this machine in a while?
So I've used this one, but this one looks like it has like a straight bar connecting across the top.
No, it's two. I'll see if we can pull it up here. Hammer Strength. So this is like the rear delt one. I mean, if you're not on YouTube, then... that sucks.
You're screwed.
Sucks. Yeah. This one is the rear delt one, right? I don't know why he's using a supinated grip here. That's bothering me, but
or neutral. Yeah.
No, so, this one here.
That's the one that I've used that one over there that you're highlighting right now.
Yeah, this one.
And I don't know. But that's not the one we're talking about.
This is the one we're talking about right now.
Yeah. So that one has a single.
No, they're
handle across the top.
No, there's a break. They're two unilateral handles.
Oh, okay. I mean, to me, those machines are basically the same. And to be honest, I probably wouldn't use the standard grip in either of them. I would grab some D handles and bring them over, and I would manipulate the grip to the way that I wanted it to be. And so to me, like, I love this machine because of the way that I can manipulate it. If I was somebody who was willing to bring D handles over and do it the way that it was most comfortable for me, I think it becomes a worse tier than if you're just willing to grab D handles and go over and make it suit you better. Is this for on you to rank? I think this is yours.
What did we just do? Which one did we just do? I can,
we just
I
did
can
the
rank it.
lateral
Oh,
raise. Or
we
no,
did lat pull
we
down.
did that one. Lat pull down. Yeah, so I guess this one's on me. Yeah, I mean, because of the ability to be malleable and bring D handles over and make it fit you, I struggle to not put that into like S or A,
Yeah.
whatever you think
I
is
throw it in
suitable.
A, and I would even add, I'd throw it in A even after adding an additional piece of context. If you kneel on this, just like the step back hammer row,
Yeah.
your resistance profile is like elite. I guess I'd put it in S tier because of that. You can use it bilaterally and grab D handles and it'll work really great well, or you can use it unilaterally and kneel, and you do have an opportunity to brace with your free hand, kneel down on one leg and get a really nice resistance profile. The next one is a seated selectorized pull down, has a nice thigh pad to anchor down, but this one has two pronated grips and a diverging arm path. So that means as you pull down, the arms get wider, and you are kind of locked into a pronated grip. It's not precisely pronated. It's almost like comfortably semi-pronated. It matches the path that your elbows are going to go, so it is nice in that fashion. But it's fixed. It diverges, selectorized.
Yeah, I've never used this machine before, but I can imagine that it's quite solid for, upper back rear delt focus. So, yeah, I mean, I have an idea of where you'll probably rank that, but I'll let you lead on that.
Yeah, I put that in the A or B category. It's definitely not an S
Yeah.
category. I probably put it in the B category, frankly. I've
I
used it
agree.
before, and it just like if it because it is on a fixed angle of diverging, it just like some people it's going to be really, really wide for them, and some people it's going to end up diverging but still be kind of tucked. And so I don't love that. I put it in the B category.
Cool.
Next one is a so we're so that's our last. Actually, we have one more pull down. Let's accelerate that one up. This next one is the hoist pull down, and I can grab a different picture for you if you're like, hey, I want to familiarize myself. But this is the one where, again, you're kind of like pulling down and almost like sliding forward underneath the weight as you pull. Are you familiar with this machine?
No, I can imagine what it feels like though, like given that I've experienced hoist machines before.
Yeah. It's like
So you're saying you move
these are the
as you
handles.
pull, you get more vertical with your body underneath the resistance.
So let's assume the movement isn't a big feature here.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably fine. I wouldn't select that over any of the other pull downs that we already have up there. So I'd struggle to put it any higher than B, which I think is where our lowest pull down currently exists.
I'd put it B too because it lacks a neutral grip option. I just don't understand why they wouldn't just add
Yeah.
a neutral grip option. What I will say is those arms, they are on a little bit of a pivot forward and back. So that is a nice feature. It's not as fixed of a handle, and so it fits people on average a little bit nicer. I put it in the B category too.
Cool.
Next is a pullover machine, and I have to say I have never used a pullover machine in my life, and so I'd love for you to take this one if you're familiar.
Yeah, I have used this pullover machine, although I've only used it once. I usually use the one that's a bit more of a standard, like old school pullover. But this I've definitely used as well. I like these machines. I understand the argument from many people in the space that this doesn't really feel like a huge lat movement, like at the short position a bit, like you get short and you can kind of feel the lats squeezing at that very bottom position where the elbows drive down. But when you're in that overhead stretch position, to me, it feels like you're stretching the pec minor as much as anything else. Like I don't really feel a huge stretch in the lat. So my inclination with doing pullovers like this is usually to pair it with a more like bilateral movement that has forearm flexion or
Yep.
bicep flexion in there. So I like supersetting a pullover with a pull-up. Like those are that combination is amazing for me and I love that. Not a huge fan of just using the pullover machine on its own for whatever lat-driven purpose that might be. If it has a seat belt, that's a huge feature too, which I'm guessing that it does because most of these machines do have seat belts. And if you don't have one, you'll find that you're kind of moving around in the midline at the stretch position and at the short position, your body kind of oscillates back and forth, almost like those hoist machines do.
Yep.
So the seat belt is a huge feature there. I like it for the fact that it's unique and the ease of like it trumps over a dumbbell pullover, even though it's a similar movement because of the even resistance profile. And the problem with the dumbbell pullover for me is that it really pinches in my shoulders when I'm in the stretch position with the hands being so narrow. So I like that this allows you to have a bit wider of a setup there as well.
I just think it doesn't train anything amazingly well. I just think like if
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not over here like, oh, lats, boom, I gotta book the pullover machine. Like I'm getting a little bit of pec in that. Once your arms are like directly overhead, the pecs are going to be a really strong like shoulder flexor, shoulder flexor, and the long head triceps going to kick in. And I'm just that doesn't make it bad. And dumbbell pullover, I actually am slight. I have a, I'm probably a notch higher on it than you. Just again, not super high on it, but maybe a notch. And so there's no. It's unlikely. Let me phrase it this way. Let me see if you agree. When I'm building a program, my programs are, I almost don't have the volume to waste on the pullover machine. Like I'm just, maybe I'm doing like 10 upper body movements in a program and it's just never going to make the top 10 for me.
Yeah. It's just not a core movement pattern that we would use. And so for that reason, I struggle as well with putting it into programs. So yeah, I think C or D.
I'm throwing a D. We're going to dump on it a little bit. Cool. Next one, let's get through these. I want to be respectful of your time. We're already at like 70 minutes of tier listing upper body machines. Like, shit. All right, we have three shoulder press machines. Okay. The first one is the laying back hammer strength one.
Yeah, I like this one. I've used this in my training before. Yeah, I don't really have any negatives to say about it. I love it. I love that it's unilateral, that both arms work. It's got a fine resistance profile. It's a good, comfortable machine. And as far as shoulder presses go, A, B, something like that.
You pick a final one, and I'm gonna knock it one lower than that because I fucking hate this machine. So you pick one, and then I'm gonna make my opinion average it out one lower than that.
Sweet.
I think it suffers from the same issues as the other hammer strength press, where like I'd say like 40% of people are gonna find it fine, and a high percentage of people are gonna find it doesn't conform to their anthropometry really well. But fine nonetheless. And when we go through the other two, we might find a similar.
You know, the handles are long enough that you can grip it narrower or wider based on the size of your torso and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're going to knock it down anyways, then I'll put it in B.
Cool. Let's hit a B. The next one is
and
the
then you don't you want to knock it down to
no,
C?
No, B's good. B, I feel no, I feel good with it at B. I feel good with it there.
Okay.
The next one is the hoist rocket machine. And again, I find that the hoist rocket shoulder press machine, again, I find this to be one that they just like a blind squirrel finds a nut, you know, like that the broken clock is right twice a day, like that this one actually just feels quite nice. And the movement of rocking backwards as you're pressing is helpful for people who struggle with like direct overhead mobility because of the way the machine moves. And it has like a semi-neutral handle. The handles are like only right here. And I find that to be incredibly comfortable. And in my opinion, would use this one over the one that we just went through.
Interesting.
But for some reason, shoulder pressing machines just, there's such a wide variety of shoulder mobility that I just find shoulder pressing machines are like the way that we like loved all the chest supported rows. I feel kind of on average the opposite for shoulder pressing machines, where I've never like fallen in love with a shoulder press machine.
I agree actually 100% with that. I usually would prefer to use dumbbells, cables in most cases. The what is your general take on overhead pressing neutral grip though? Because I feel like my general interpretation is that the lower you are, so we're talking costal pec, that there's more benefit to being neutral. And as you go up the spectrum where you get closer and closer to shoulder pressing, I find that a more pronated elbows out position seems to feel more comfortable.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Generally, I think that's still some level of adduction, like elbow tucking is probably still better than, I know you're not recommending. I'm not saying that you're saying it's bad, but I know that you didn't mean, hey, full, you know, abduction arm, you know, 90 degrees out.
Just moving more toward that side of the spectrum.
Yeah, I still find that the level of neutral grip doesn't encourage this like super elbow tuck position. It's neutral-ish, but pronated enough that your elbows flare in a position I think is more natural. Okay. I'd put it in B also. more of a preference base. You know, if you loved it, it could go higher or lower. This next one is like straight standard selectorized shoulder press machine. You got a pronated handle, you got a neutral grip handle. These tend to not converge. We're going to assume this one does not converge.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like all of these shoulder presses just end up in B, because like for some people they might work, for some people they might not. Like, I don't have a whole big pony in the fight there.
Yeah, dude, shoulder pressing machines is like one of the ones I absolutely need a form video from people, where I'm like, it's not a plug and play movement for everyone. It's not like I'll just sit down and the machine figures itself. Like a chest supported row figures itself out most of the time. Oh, we have to optimize the seat height, we have to pick a grip, but outside of that, it tends to fit most people. Next is the Smith machine, and we're not gonna necessarily, I mean, we can take into account all the things you could do on Smith machine, but obviously it's not like, oh, just Smith machine this or Smith machine that. Mm-hmm. The Smith machine in general as an upper body tool. Am I up? I'm up. I'm high on the Smith machine. I'm high on the Smith machine for pressing. I like the Smith machine for, you know, if we're going to extend into like all that it can do, I like it for pressing. I like it for modifying inverted row height. I like it for if you're working on getting your first push up, you can have real incremental heights at which you're, you know, working towards getting your first floor push up. I like it for setting up, you know, you could set up rack chins in, you know, in a regular squat rack, but again, this is not, a little bit easier. I like it because you could do a lot. The versatility of the Smith is going to give it a little bit of a bump here. I personally am a bit higher on it. I find that because it's a straight bar, you're not strapped to the people who made it and how they made it. You can say, oh, I'm going to go a little bit closer. Yeah, you're stuck in pronation, totally. But you can say, I'm going to go a little bit wider. I'm going to do a little bit more incline. I'm going to do a little closer grip. There's a versatility there that makes me quite fond of it. Like, if we looked at any of those shoulder press machines, I'd rather do like a 45 or 60 degree Smith machine where I can pick exactly where I want my hands to go. I'm locked in pronation, but I can pick the exact width where I want, the bench angle that I want. And so I would put this in the A tier. But I know myself that that's a strong opinion for the Smith.
Yeah, I mean, it's your ranking system. I absolutely do not feel the same way about the Smith at all. And I think that most of that comes down to the fact that you are locked in pronation. Like, the Smith is only better than a barbell in the sense that there's a little more stability. And we're talking about hypertrophy here, because a barbell probably trumps the Smith for any other pursuit aside from hypertrophy, in my opinion. But because of the stability is the only reason, in my opinion, it's better than a barbell. Being locked in pronation to me is like a death curse. I don't know, maybe it's the 27 years of training, the CrossFit and everything, but my shoulders do not do well locked in pronation. And then downstream from that, my shoulders are the first thing to react. And then eventually it becomes my elbows and maybe my wrists. So over time, not really a big fan of that at all. If you put it in A, I'd knock it down to B, but you know, it's your ranking.
I'm super happy with that. I think that is the average of how most will feel. I totally agree. Next, we have a dip machine. And so it's most gyms, you know, who have a full line of equipment will have this, where you're seated and your torso's, you know, forced angled forward by the chair. And then you have two handles kind of by your side, and you are, you know, the downside of the machine, if it doesn't have a seatbelt, you know, if you use a lot of weight, sometimes that's an issue. But any experience with this machine?
Yeah, I actually love it, and agree to your point, it needs to have a seatbelt. Otherwise, I get launched out of the seat. But if it has a seatbelt, I find this machine actually to be significantly better than dips themselves. And honestly, like, if we put the assisted pull-up and assisted dip machine in the S category, if we're talking specifically about dips, this kind of goes in the S category for me too, just because of the stability and the ability to push. The downside, I guess, is that because it is a machine that has set width of handles, they happen to fit me quite well because I'm a relatively wider dude. I can see where if you're a smaller person, reaching out wider could feel prohibitive in a sense and maybe put a little bit of additional stress onto the anterior delt. So for me, it's like an S-tier machine. I don't think I can put it in S-tier for general population. How do you feel?
I feel similarly, where if it fits you and it has a seatbelt. So if you're not so strong, you need a seatbelt, or it has a seatbelt, I'd put it in the S tier for dips if it fits you well. I would put it in the A tier for a more holistic look at it. I think if it fits you well, it's awesome. It's a really, really great machine.
Yep.
This is an overhead tricep extension machine that I've never seen in any gym I've ever been in. But I was thinking of, I wanted at least like three tricep machines. And I know the dip machine can also be pecs and front delts. But this is basically you're sitting on a bench. It's on a slight incline. And over your head is like almost like a French press, kind of like an easy bar that's over your head. And they make some different iterations as I was Googling for it. But this is one I commonly see. This is actually an Atlantis machine, the one that we're looking at here. So it's just a stable overhead tricep extension. I've never used it. I can't speak to, you know, the arc of motion, the comfort of the pad, the comfort of the hand grip. I like the idea that there is an overhead tricep extension. There's another one I was toying around putting in, but I would put this in maybe like a B category just by the, I'm not exactly sure if I've used this before, but I like the idea of having a stable overhead tricep extension.
Yeah, I'd almost lean, like, I've never used it either. I've never even seen it, but my inclination was to put it in A initially, just because that is super cool.
Yeah.
I feel like if I had the option of, you know, overhead cable tricep extensions and then that machine, in most cases, as long as it fits me somewhat well, I'd probably opt for that machine.
Yeah, I'd really love to try it. And our last machine is basically like a skull crusher machine, essentially. It's like the reverse preacher curl. It's a tricep.
It's almost like a JM press machine.
Yeah, definitely. So it'll be called the tricep extension machine at most gyms. Yeah. You're sitting, there's like a preacher curl style pad for you to rest your arm on top of. And then each hand, it's basically like if you took a skull crusher position, but you imagined you were sitting upward and pressing forward right. and down. Your thoughts?
Yeah, the setup looks similar to a preacher curl machine for anyone that's asking. It's just that the handle is up higher and you push away instead of the preacher curl where you bring it toward you. I like this machine. The downside to me is just that I don't see the utility in doing a lot of pressing movements for the lateral and medial head of the tricep. To me, it makes a lot more sense to spend your tricep time doing long head work because the medial tricep and lateral tricep get hit so much in standard pressing movements, overhead, chest press, whatever. So I don't personally spend time doing these types of movements, so I would not use it. But for that reason, it has to be at least one category lower than the overhead extension. So yeah. I'd put it B or C, probably C.
Yeah, so I'm definitely putting it in C or D. And the reason I'm putting it there is because this one that we're looking at, whether you can see it or not, it has a backrest kind of, and some of them have a backrest, and that backrest is so key because if you put a lot of weight on this, as the machine comes back up during the eccentric, it's pushing you straight backwards. And so if you don't have a backrest, it's just god awful. It takes so much ab and core strength to just stay in the seat. And I have a client right now that was sending me the picture of her doing it. And I'm like, there's no way there's not a backrest. Like, this machine is completely unusable without a backrest. And the fact that some of them exist without a backrest, I have a bone to pick. The second thing is it lacks range of motion. Again, if you let me just bring the machine back as far as I want to, then I think the fact that you could like really load significantly this position of like full elbow flexion, that would be a feature. But these are all like stopping me like just past 90 degrees, and I'm like, for all the points that you listed, if it had a backrest and it was like fully loadable into as much elbow flexion as I want, I'd at least be like, cool, here's a stable option for me to do something else. But yeah, not a big fan. We're gonna throw this in the C category.
Well,
super fun, dude. I'll let you get out of here. We're just way longer than we expected, but mega, mega fun. What I'm gonna do is, if you're interested, in the show notes, I'm gonna have a PDF of what we listed out here today, just like a picture of the final kind of S, A, B, C, D tier. So you can take a look, and if you agree or disagree, shoot me and Brian a message, and I'm sure we'll have something to say about it.
Sweet. Yeah, thanks for doing this, man. It was fun.
Yep, super fun, man. All right, I'll catch you later. Go enjoy a nice bike ride. See you, dude.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.